Time for Kent Neitzert in the Garden, brought to you by Neitzert's Greenhouse and Florist. Now we're officially into summer. Everything appears to be blooming, greening up with the with the rain. Not too much rain. Plenty, but not too much. I mean, we don't have the flooding like they have in Minnesota and that kind of stuff. So, which is good news. So
it's all relative.
Yeah, well, it's really I suppose made it a little easier on gardeners.
Oh yeah,
that you haven't had really run the sprinklers a whole lot.
Yeah, but you know what? It makes the weeds grow just like
good point.
They grow just like weeds, and everything else is growing too. So makes them easy to pull if you can put mud through it. But
yeah. A busy time last weekend for Strawberry Fest.
Yeah,
and lots of strawberries.
Yeah. So I'm still eating some of them from last weekend.
from last weekend.
Yes, they are good.
Well, one of the things that makes the world go round when it comes to our gardens, our flowers, and everything else is, of course, our friends that like to fly around.
Yeah.
Those little bees.
Yeah. I got a call yesterday from the city, and they had a swarm of bees in one of the trees down at the library corner at the Four Corners, and so I went down to try and help them get them out, and by the time I got there they'd decided to move on. So I got to thinking, you know, there's a lot of misconceptions about bees. A lot of people are afraid of bees. They are extremely important in our agriculture industry, in the pollination of everything from almonds to, you know, the citrus crops in the south, cranberry crops on the east coast, up in this area, all the orchards, apples, grapes, strawberries. If a farmer is planting some of the crops like the cucurbit crops, like cucumbers or melons, they all need to have colonies of bees generally rented and put in the field so that they get good pollination. Because the fruit on a particular plant is the process that occurs after pollination occurs. So if you've got a flower on a melon plant that doesn't get pollinated, it doesn't produce a melon. So you got to be sure that that happens. And over the past few years, we've had a lot of problems with colonies of bees tending to not be persistent around. There's a disease called colony collapse disorder that researchers are not exactly sure what causes it just yet. All of a sudden, the colony of bees just disappears. The workers seem to fly out and run away and disappear. One of the things we need to be aware of with bees is that they're really not very dangerous, in the sense that this particular swarm of bees was probably 18 to 20 feet up in the air, and if you look up at them, there's a lot of bees flying around, and it will be just a huge mass, probably as big as a basketball or bigger, just hanging there. There are a clump of bees all gathered around the queen, and they're out looking. What happens is the original colony gets crowded, and some of them decide we've got to find some more room, so there's a new queen produced, and that queen leaves the hive and takes part of the workers with them, and they go out looking for an apartment for rent.
Does she start as a princess?
No.
Okay.
Straight to queen.
Okay.
And so by the time I got there to try and help, that swarm had disappeared. There might have been 15 or 20 bees left. And apparently what happens is that swarm gathers around the queen, and they all just kind of hang together. And a bunch of the workers go looking for a new apartment.
Okay.
And apparently somebody found one down on, you know, on East Pearl someplace. And they said, let's go move in. And they took off.
Well, it was interesting you say that, because was it 2 weekends ago at our house, and our neighbors were standing outside. Again, same kind of thing. First, to look over at their tree, it's just swarmed with them. Look over at our tree in our front yard, and just swarmed with the bees.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, I have never seen them like that before. And then, like I said, an hour later, they're gone.
Yeah, and sometimes the swarms will stick around better part of a day, or maybe a day and a half, before they find a place to go. And they're interested in finding a place to live and starting the reproductive cycle and building up. So if you leave them alone, they're not going to bother you, even if it's a colony that's up there in that tree and they're going in and out steadily. If it's that far off the ground, highly unlikely they're going to bother anybody down below. If you get a stick up there and start punching at them and bothering them, they'll bother you back. Honeybees, one of the things to keep in mind, if the honeybee stings you, they only get to sting you once because their stinger's barbed. And when they stick it in, it won't come back out. So when they fly away, the barbed stinger sticks in along with the poison sac of the that's on it is still on attached to you. So one of the things you don't want to do is grab that and pinch it and pull it out, because what that does is pushes all the rest of that poison into the sting site, and you will get a bigger reaction. So what you want to do is take your thumbnail and just scratch it sideways, or take a knife and scrape it sideways so you scrape the stinger out and don't put that extra venom into your body. As I said, they're important in pollination, and I've got some bees. I had one colony last year, real active colony. It didn't winter, so I don't have any right now, and I called this spring around to look and see if I could buy. Generally, people will buy packages of bees to replace them. There just weren't any available by the time I got around, and they were very expensive. Depends on the site you look at, but anywhere from $100 to $140 for a package. You get a 3-pound package, one bee and 3 pounds of worker bees. And generally, it takes about a better part of a year for that colony to build up to a strength where it can start producing honey that then has excess honey that you can extract to have to eat. The colony collapse disorder, one of the things that we as gardeners can do to help that is local native plants. They tend to produce nectar more effective for the bees than some of the hybrid plants. We want to choose colorful flowers, especially blue, purple, violet, white, and yellow. Bees have very good color vision and find them that way. You want to plant flowers maybe in clumps, maybe as big as 4 feet across, because when the worker bees going out looking for pollen and nectar, and they find one plant, that's nothing to get excited about. But if there's a group of plants there that has a possible food source, they'll fly back to the hive and tell their worker bees, their companion bees, where that's at. I don't think they use text messaging yet, but they do have a GPS of some sort. We want to include flowers of different shapes and sizes, because there are several thousand different species of bees in North America, and all of them have different tongue lengths and can get deeper into some flowers. So you want to try and help out as much as we can. We want to plant plants that are flowering over a diversity of time so that there's nectar available in the early spring and midsummer, late summer, and late fall. And plant where bees like to visit. They like to be out in the sunny areas. They're not really as much involved in going into the shady areas. And one of the things that is really important is be careful of our use of pesticides. I'm not a anti-pesticide freak, but we need to follow directions. One of the more better classes of pesticides that we have available for use of controlling pesticide is the neonicotinoids. And imidacloprid is one of those, and it's a synthetic nicotine that has been developed. It's fairly safe for humans, but it seems to be fairly detrimental to bees. And a recent study I was looking at, they took a group of plants from one of the big box stores, I don't remember where it was, maybe Home Depot or something like that, and examined them, and well over half of them had levels of neonicotinoids found on them that would be detrimental to bees. So we need to be careful. We in the greenhouse industry use them to control insects because the customers don't want to have plants that have bugs on them. So we use them, and they're relatively pervasive and don't break down real quick. Although they're safe to humans, they seem to be bothersome to bees. So be careful how we use pesticides. Don't use them indiscriminately. And enjoy our fine, buzzy friends.
Yeah. Ken Neitzert of the Garden with us this morning. 279-1590, that's the number to call this morning. If you've got Kent questions for him, let him know. 279-1590 for Kent Neitzert in the Garden this morning. While Nightshirt's Greenhouse and Florist can't take it all off, they're taking half off. For the rest of the month of June, nearly all summer flowering plants are half off. All 10-inch flowering hanging baskets, all 4-inch spring plants, and all flats, they're all half off. You know how good the plants from Nightshirt's look? Wait until you see how they look at half off. Hurry out to Nightshirt's, 1.5 miles south of US 12 on Fisk Road today, or on the web at nightshirtsgreenhouse.com. 5-2 minutes in front of 8 o'clock now. Kent Neitzer in the garden with us on this edition of our In the Garden show. This time of year, then, maybe we're looking to replenish our gardens, or we haven't really got, not necessarily gardens, but like flower gardens and those kinds of things. What are we planting now? What's going well? What will go well here in the next month or two?
Well, I generally tell people the 4th of July is kind of the cutoff date for if you want to plant things like, if we plant tomatoes, by the 4th of July, we'll be able to harvest tomatoes in the early to late fall. Peppers, those kind of things can be planted. If you're interested in things like cabbage and broccoli and Brussels sprouts and cauliflower, those cool season cold crops, those you can start planting now for a fall crop.
Okay.
And still work good. In the garden, your quicker crops like radishes take about 30 days. Beans are relatively quick. I think you could still plant a crop of melons, cantaloupe, maybe cucumbers, those kind of things. And in your flower beds, takes generally about 3 to 4 weeks for a bed to really start to shine if you're getting plants out of a packet, like a 48-count flat type or a 36-count flat that you would buy at the store. So it takes about 3 or 4 weeks for those to shape up. So if we plant now, it's going to be latter part of July, and it will be looking really nice. So you got all of July, August, September. Often we can carry away into about mid of October before we get frosts that are hard enough to start giving problems to plants that are up around the house.
Any good flowers to be planting? We're coming into the heat of the summer here. Mm-hmm. We're in the next month or two. That'll really look still nice in the high heat?
Well, it's just a matter of it. The heat, I don't think, is the problem. The problem is can we get enough moisture to it? So if we're planting now, we're taking plants that have a limited root system for the amount of top growth that's there, so we need to keep water to them till the roots get moved out into the surrounding ground and get a root system under them that will support the top structure without having to put excess water on them by themselves. From a perennial standpoint, we're looking at things like in late July and early August. That's when we like to transplant iris, peonies in that August to September time. Those are planted at that time after they kind of go dormant. A lot of people have hostas and daylilies, and those can be transplanted pretty much any time of the year. They're pretty sturdy. You'll lose the leaf structure some of the leaf structure that's there when you dig them up, but the roots are strong enough that they'll push another growth of leaves out. And if we're looking to improve our landscaping, if you don't plant the particular plant now that's in the nursery, it stays there all summer anyway. So, and that nurseryman just has to water it. So you can plant container-grown plant material any time of the year that you can get a shovel in the ground and dig a hole and get it taken care of. You just have to remember that if we plant it in August, we have to water a lot more than if we planted in April or late September, because Mother Nature is helping us in those times.
Kent Neitzer with us this morning, and just a reminder, he is fully clothed. He's not half off, thankfully.
Well, I can be if the price is right.
Or if the price is even better, he'll keep us.
Even better.
So don't forget a half off sale at Dead Nightshirts. During the week, catch him at the greenhouse, 1.5 miles south of US 12 on Fisk Road, on the web at nightshirtsgreenhouse.com, or Thursday mornings here on 7:45. It is Kent Neitzer in the garden on WTVB. See you next week.
All right.